Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. Luke Boner. The Night Shift.
Well, yesterday on the program, we touched on this very alarming online petition that is doing the rounds, and it involves young girls at elite private schools alleging that they've been sexually assaulted by, guess what, boys at elite private schools. Sydney private school students are alleging that sexual assault is rampant, and the online petition is extremely concerning, according to the New South Wales Minister for Women, Bronnie Taylor. She revealed that an online petition in which hundreds of former female students have shared their sexual experiences of being assaulted, sexually assaulted by private school boys is extremely concerning. Now, do we live in a misogynistic world? I thought we've come a long way. But all this then ties into the very, very disturbing allegations coming from Canberra and Brittany Higgins, who we find out has made allegations that she was raped, and not just raped, but in a minister's office by a senior staffer. We now find out that a third woman has come forward with similar allegations, and that the person involved with these allegations has checked himself into a Sydney hospital seeking psychiatric help. But who knew of the alleged rape of Brittany Higgins at Parliament House? When did they find out? And what, if anything, did they do about it? Does this reflect poorly on the Liberal Party and senior staff members, including the Defence Minister, Linda Reynolds? The Prime Minister, what did he know and when did he know about it? And how often does this misogynistic behaviour go on, and is it protected under the roof of Parliament House, and not just Parliament House, in schools and in businesses right around Australia? Why didn't Brittany Higgins go to the police? We don't know. We're told that she was encouraged to go, but it was her decision not to go, according to the Defence Minister, Linda Reynolds. Now she's decided to say something 2 years down the track. And now we have fresh accusations that a third woman has allegedly been sexually assaulted by the same bloke. So getting back to where maybe this misogynistic behaviour starts, is it at school? Should sexual conduct or sexual misconduct be taught in schools? Yesterday, I thought it was something that would be taught by parents before you even get to school. But I thought I'd talk to our resident psychotherapist, psychologist, best-selling author, and someone with a very, very strong opinion on all of this, and that's Kayleen Wynn. Kayleen, it was a very long introduction, but I had to set the scene. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Luke. How are you today?
Good, thank you, Kayleen. What do you make of all of this?
Yes, it's all very interesting, isn't it, Luke? All these things that have been hidden, which I think have been going on for a very long time, and you use the word misogyny. I think there's been a power shift that's going on now in regards to right across the board in all workplaces, and I don't think it's just in Parliament, but it's interesting to see that it doesn't it goes, you know, to the highest office in the land, so to speak. So we definitely have a big problem out there, I feel, in regards to the rights and the respect of individuals, and especially women in workplaces. And yes, I do believe it starts from a very young age that we need to get educating in this process.
Okay. So I've told you that the New South Wales Minister for Women, her name is Bronnie Taylor, she brought to our attention on the weekend that there is an online petition and there are hundreds of former female students who say that they were sexually assaulted by private school boys. This is a worry. So is it a place of privilege, or is this just one petition? Is it just private school boys who think that they're above the law? Should this sort of behaviour and this moral code, if I can use that term, be taught in schools?
Yes, it's interesting. We've got so many layers here, and I was actually talking to a couple of teachers today just to get also their perspective on this process of what they see that goes on within the school environment as well. And they around the school and sex education. And the issue is schools are fearful to actually make this a topic of contention because they're fearful of being sued by parents and outside other forces, where the government are not bringing a black and white process to this approach because the bureaucracy is getting in the way again of being able to teach and around consent of education without being restrained by politics.
Scared of being sued by parents for what?
Who don't agree for their children to be taught some of these topical subjects around the sexual element.
Really?
Yes, and it's interesting because this is why I say that it's very layered, because teachers agree there are issues here. There's so many grey areas when it comes to looking at this approach, because we live in a different time to when we went to school. There was an innocence back then and an ignorance, and we live in a very different world today where through social media, you know, students are learning about sexual processes online, they're learning it through porn, they're learning it through so many devices, and they don't have the maturity to understand how this really works. And what I was actually saying to some teachers today, do we need a more holistic approach? I feel we need to bring in the administration parts of this process. We need curriculum designers, we need the teachers, we need students to participate in this process. We also need psychologists in this process to bring in a cultural competence around about how we teach awareness around respect and what no really does mean. Because as these teachers keep implying to me that it is grey, because the process isn't clear in its approach. You know, when you get the party culture of the kids who have their party culture where they've got their drugs and they've got their alcohol involved. And parents don't want to hear these things, by the way, but they need to, because this is the real world that we actually do live in. And I'm not saying every kid does this, by the way, but there is a culture out there. And, you know, it's caught up in a process of toxicity. It's around a culture of control, power, entitlement, self-righteousness behaviour, and you bring that all together with a lack of knowledge and maturity in this process, and you've got a toxic environment of disaster ready to unfold.
Last week we talked about schools on the Gold Coast. I think I may have sent you this story, that we had parents at Gold Coast State High Schools saying that kids are accessing pornographic content. This was according to the Education Minister in Queensland last year. Mobile phones in some Gold Coast public high schools were being used to record embarrassing TikTok videos, but also they were being used to access pornographic content while the kids were at school. And I thought, Jesus Christ, take the phones off them. But the point is, and you mentioned pornography, it may be only accessible legally to people over the age of 18, but you and I know anyone can access anything anytime they want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And who's monitoring who's on the phone?
Exactly.
Who's using the phone? Yes. So that's ridiculous to think that that's the case. We've got to get, we've really got to have a really hard and deep conversation around this topic, because as I said, there are many layers to this, and, you know, it needs everybody's participation, and it needs to be an open forum, I think, in regards to this process, to start teaching younger people at a younger age. And I would even go as far as saying grade six, we need to start creating some awareness around that in regards to respect and teaching, you know, how to respect each other in regards to behaviour, in attitudes, and understand that we have a blindness in this culture around what's acceptable behaviour, what is not acceptable behaviour. So when we talk about a cultural competence, I look at four different layers here around, first of all, awareness, meaning that we need a self-reflective process here around our biasness, our values and our beliefs. Then we need to look at the attitude, in regards to reflecting on our own assumptions first, and then the assumptions of the more liberal process. Then the knowledge. What knowledge do we have around defining clear boundaries around respect and power plays? And then the actions. What actions constitute obviously going over that respect boundary, and then the consequences of what that actually means. So that
now let me ask you this, because whenever you mention this, women get very, very upset. But do women need to look at their behaviour as well? Now, as far as I'm concerned, a woman should be able to wear what she wants, drink as much as she wants, and still feel safe. Is that the reality?
You know, at the end of the day, whether you're male or female, you have a right to behave in any way you like, as long as it's not hurting anybody else. That's my view. Mm. But most of the time in these certain situations, people don't take responsibility for their behaviour in regards to how much alcohol they drink, how much they consume.
What I'm saying is the older people, my father's age, would be saying, if you're going to dress like that and you're going to drink too much, you know, you bring it on yourself. I think we've got to go past that and say to ourselves, no means no. And what sort of bloke takes advantage of a girl that's drunk way too much and has just about passed out?
Well, that's someone I would say is quite gutless in their approach. Wouldn't you think that's taking advantage, and that's just assaulting and offensive behaviour?
Yeah, that's right. And when I heard of Brittany Higgins' accusations, and best bear in mind, this bloke hasn't been named, but he also hasn't been tried, and we live by presumption of innocence in this country. But when I heard of those allegations, I thought, I bet you more women come forward, because that, to me, doesn't sound like a one-off. A bloke that did that allegedly to Brittany Higgins, I said to myself, I bet you he's done it to other women.
Well, exactly. And I actually said the same thing, to be honest, because here's what happens. And this culture doesn't just go back to what's going on now. I can remember, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that this was going on, you know, especially when we call it what we call the man's world back then, that everything revolved around that power. And there was abuse along those lines of, you know, women being taken advantage of and never could climb the ladder. You know, I remember when I was climbing the corporate ladder, I remember someone saying to me, so did you sleep your way to the top, Kayleen? And yeah. I could not believe that comment being. I had to prove myself twice as hard to be accepted at that level, you know?
Yeah.
So it has been going on for a long, long time. It's now that women are starting to express this process, and women are now being taken seriously and are supported by other women also, where there was also an element once upon a time where women would actually just let you sit on your own with the whole process, and you had no support in this process at all, because women looked down upon you.
All right. Does sexual conduct need to be taught at schools? You say yes?
Yes, I do.
And you say starting in year six?
Year six, absolutely. And we start with basics. We don't, you know, and we start to... by year seven, we bring a little bit more to the process, year eight, because some of this stuff doesn't come out till year 10. And here's the thing we need to understand. Kids are having sex from the age of 10 these days, you know?
Really?
So, yes, they are sexually active at age 10 these days.
At 10. Gee, you think about what we were doing at 10.
Yes.
Christ, it's another world, isn't it? That's Kayleen Wynn when I spoke to her. A couple of days ago, of course, now four women have come forward in the Brittany Higgins allegations. Four women have come forward, and the person allegedly responsible has checked out of that hospital and has checked into a private psychiatric facility. That's the latest there. Kayleen Wynn, who is a psychotherapist, psychologist, best-selling author, and a regular here on The Night Shift. Sexual conduct needs to be taught in schools, according to Kayleen, and needs to be taught from year six. You just heard her. She says kids are now sexually active at 10. Really? Think about what you were doing at 10. It's another world, isn't it?